is going to take us a little bit of time, and I hope not so long. I didn't have certain of my Makaras this morning. I have a sheet somewhere which seems to have disappeared, but I had prepared Makaras. So I sent you a sort of a limited set to get started. But this Tosis is a little more complicated than it seems. If you haven't figured that out already, you will figure it out soon. So what I would like to do, at least today, because I have to go give a presentation via video conference for a group of high schools supposed to be there at 11:45. So as I indicated in the email, it's going to be slightly abridged here, but I want to sort of just get you into things. As far as the Makaras are concerned, guys, you got to do a better job. It went all the way around. Okay. Second, you're allowed to have kefel also. No dalad v'hei until everybody else has had kefel, but okay. Now you can start to make nachiru, but it's dalad v'hei. Okay. In terms of the Makaros, some of you already figured out on your own very smartly, go look at Tosis Rabbeinu Peretz. I can tell from some of your questions, and now we have some new messianists in this year. And you'll understand, if you haven't seen Tosis Rabbeinu Peretz, you'll understand why we get there. Because his Rebbe was the Mashiach.
It was last time also.
Actually, mine has just
the Memreish. Okay. Maybe someone was there. Maybe that was an anti-messianist polemic. Change, censorship, right? You have that. I'm sorry?
David, it could still be Moreno, rather.
But he uses the term, for those who didn't see it, he uses the term Mashiach. Kenir in the Mashiach, Morisha Yichya. Okay, so but it didn't carry the connotation then that it did now. So you have to look at Tosis Rabbeinu Peretz. The Ravid is a very short Ravid, but you have to sort of pick up on. And then the issue that's really latent in Tosis, which he does sort of spell out but doesn't dwell upon, is gone over by the Rush, who quotes the Rif as saying something the Rif never actually said. It's really an inference from the Rif. And the Beis Yosef seems to like it. I wasn't so sure at first that maybe the Rush, in fact, is correct. But when you read the Rush, when you read the Rif, so after you do that little, the Tosis Rabbeinu Peretz and the Ravid, go to the Rif at the beginning of the Perek. Some is just good Chazara because he summarizes the Dinim. In fact, I realize if somebody wants to have a fun activity, this is something between a Chazara on your learning plus a little bit Mechkarish. If you want to go and just go through the Gemara and pull out all the Memras and put it together, you can take Bar Ilan and then compare it to what you have in the Rif. It provides you both good Chazara and, when you pull out the Memras of the Gemara, you have to pull out more than the Memras. Anytime the Gemara gives a Maskona, which qualifies the memory, you have to quote that as well. But if you do that, what you'll start to get, you'll get something that looks a lot like the text of the Rif. So it's a very good chazara if you want to chazir what you did, not in terms of the Shach Levitariyah, but in terms of the major points that come out of the Gemara, just read through the Rif. So there's not that much Rif anyway before the relevant piece, but you can start from the beginning of the Perek and you go on to Chav Zayin, Amud Aleph, until the Inyan is over, until you get to the Yeyush piece. So you do that Rif. There's no real need to look at the Ran there. He doesn't really deal with the issue, but then you can look at the Rush. I think it's Siman Dalet. The Rush, by the way, is another good. He's a slightly more expansive Chazara than the Rif because he goes through what the origin of each did was without all the Shach Levitariyah. Okay, make sure you pass it to Chaim. He can't get away with it either. Okay. Anyway, so let's talk about this Tosis for a moment. Before we do so, and unfortunately here I don't have a whiteboard, and this is very unfortunate because this is a sugya that you would really like a whiteboard for, or a blackboard. I'm not preferential in color. I just mean something to write on as opposed to a screen. And we did try it a few years ago, but I never really followed up on using the computer assisted one, and projecting it. You have to keep in mind there are three possible scenarios that our sugya deals with. One is chusha v'shmina shmina v'chisha. Two is Nispatma me'eleha or Huchisha me'eleha, and three is Yukra Vizula. Those are the, in other words, I steal a behema. Three things could happen to, I steal something. Three things, but if it's a behema, three things could happen in terms of this behema, in terms of it getting more valuable or less valuable, that are worthy of distinguishing. One is if it inflates in value, that's Yukra Vizula, that's Yukra. Two is if I fatten it up, that's pitma. And three is if it memela, became fatter, which is nispatman. By the way, for those of you, just y'all forgive me for the little point of Mishnei Hebrew. One of the more interesting things about Mishnei Hebrew is that a new binyan came about as a substitution for part of the pual, which was the nispail. Okay, when you read biblical Hebrew, generally speaking, nispail means we will do something. It's the active of the hispile in the future with a nun. But in Mishnei Hebrew, you read enough, you know, it looks like a hybrid of the nun of the nifal plus the hispile of binyan. But in fact, the nispael is used for certain parts of the pual. So you would never find, if it's pitma, what should it have been? If it became fatten, it should have been putma. Okay, but it's nispatma. So that's really, if you keep that example in your head, it sort of gives you a good memory device. So these are our three scenarios anyway. If it inflates in value, nothing in the animal changes, just market value. If the animal is fattened, if the animal becomes fatter, we may term it that. If you fatten the animal becomes fatter. And the same thing is true in the reverse scenarios. Now, what does the Gemara... Now, each of these six cases, three better, three worse, you have to ask yourself, what is the din if you shecht it, sell it, or even not? What is the din legabe? Keren, kefon, dal, vehei. So by my count already, you're talking about 18 different possibilities. And that's why the blackboard would be very useful. Now, without trying to kill it for the moment, then maybe I will at some point break down and somehow find the, you know, get some type of a board in here for this before tomorrow, the beginning of next week. Let's just talk about the data, the obvious data that the Gemara gives us. Everything starts because of a statement of Rav, which was, Keren, kein sheganav, Kefel v'dalad hei, at least as we have in our Gersos, Kefel v'dalad v'hei kishas hamad b'din. Now, by the way, if you want to throw another nasty twist in, I haven't seen it discussed extensively in the Rishonim, but it must come up somewhere because the Torah does talk about it, is what happens if the value, let's say you steal it, you shecht it, and now you're in court, and you have three different values there. There's the market value when you stole it, the market value when you shechted it, or let's say you shechted it, and the market value when you're actually in Beis Din. So you could really add some new wrinkles in that as well. But I'm not going to, right now, unless we have to, I'm not going to deal with that particular issue. I just want to really deal with this, the Gemara and the major issues that the way that we show them and present them. So the Gemara says that Rav's din actually refers to Yukra Vezula. Now, who was the first one to have said that before the stem of the Gemara, we thought? Was it Rosheshes who gave that teretz, or Rava? Who said Tloim? Rava, no? Rava said Tloim Kidamei Kara. Yeah, Rosheshes only challenged Rav, right? He doesn't necessarily give that answer. Go ahead, say it.
I thought we were saying that he's challenging.
Well, maybe I did say that, so I might change my mind for the moment and say simply, you're right, it either implies he had a different view of Rav's statement, or he thought Rav was wrong. He thought Rav was wrong. But Rav is the first one, it would seem, to assert this idea that Yukra Mezula. Because what did Rav say? T'layin kedemei kara, damim kishalachta. And that's the way the statement is understood by the Ri and Tosas, and it's understood by the Rif as well. The Rif writes, it's one of those cases where he tells you how he read that Gemara. And that Rav's whole din, and in fact, I didn't mention this, I saw the Rif today again, and I said the first time, it's almost as if the Rif anticipated this aspect of realizing that Rava was the one who planted the idea of reading Rav as talking about market value as opposed to actually changing the behemoth itself. Okay, but Rava certainly, the way the Rif and the Ri understood, already said that before the Gemara says it here. Okay, this Gemara may be based upon Rava's statement. And it was based upon Rava's maskana when the Gemara saw the whole issue of Rav Ila as a challenge to Rav. That brisa about Ganav Tlev and Asayo. So Rava gave the Teretz that Domim versus Tlaim, and that meant Yukra Vizula versus Kusha Vishmina Shmena Vechisha. And that's incorporating the Gemara's interpretation of Rav earlier in Samachayim and Aleph. So we know that Rav said his din by Yukra Vezula. So we know that by Yukra Vezula and Dafka, the way the Gemara presents it in one direction, if it's its value is X, and now it's valued at half of X when he shechs it or he sells it, we'll call that Chas Hamad Abedim for the moment. Okay. So then Rav said that if it's Yoker Vehuzal, so Rav said that Keren you pay kishas haganeva, kefel and dal vehe, you pay kishas habad abedin. Okay. Now, what about if zol v'hukar? What would the din be then, according to Rav? No. Well, no. No. Because that's Rav's case. Gonav chavis, gozal chavis, right? And it was worth a zuz, and it was nisyaker, and now it's worth four zuz, and now he breaks it, or he drinks it. In such a case, what did Rav say the din was? You pay four zuz. Why? Rashi explained. Because before you broke it or drank it, and to whom did the barrel belong? And the owners, because there was no shinui in it. The shinui of yoker is not a shinui. The shinui of yoker is not a shinui. The barrel is the same as it was before. It's not like you can say, you know, the way, I forget whose formulation this is, you can't say yukra ganvi, you know, the way you could say tura ganvi, minach, no! You can't. The Gemara in Samach Hamad Beis and the Rav Illa discussion is going to say that a person can taina tura ganvi minach, dichra ganvi minach, no. I stole a baby and you have an adult here. You can't say that lagaba yukra vizula, right? You can't say, oh, did I steal a $20 bottle of wine from you? No, I stole a five. Can't say that. What I stole from you was the bottle of wine. It's the same bottle of wine. So it's not the same on both ends. Rav, even though we say le'inyan yukra vizula, it really meant yoker v'huzal, not zol v'hukar. Okay, now let's talk about for a moment. So that's so far, I think, Dvarim Pshutim, a little chazar. Now what about Husha v'shmina, shmina v'chisha? What would the din be there? Let's say I took an animal, I stole an animal, it was a skinny, I was little, I was very, very thin. My father used to call me chicken bone. So if you steal a chicken bone sheep, okay? I know it's got to be a sheep bone sheep, but you steal a chicken bone sheep, okay? And then the ganav has a rachmanis, it's nebuch a sheep, so, you know, it's a poor sheep. You can't, you know, have a Jewish sheep walking around like this, so he stuffs the animal with food, okay? Now it's a nice, good-looking sheep. So in that particular case, so what is the din? It was worth $10 when he stole it. He fattened it up, it's now worth $20. The market value of sheep hasn't changed. If it had looked like it did before, it would have been worth $10. So what's the din? If he shechs it, sells it, Chaim? One second. It should be Kain Shaganov. Why?
Because that's what it was worth.
Oh, whoa. You just thrown a Molotov cocktail into the shear. Shinuyim. Shinui. That's not what the Gemara says. That's a very, what Chaim said is may not be wrong, but that's an issue that's going to torture us. But he said shinui, but Eyal said it correctly. And the more I've seen in the Rambam, Hilchos Gazela as well, the more I've seen in other Rishonim, more I'm 100% convinced this is Yori the Tosad of Chaveru Unita, right? This is going into your friend's field without Shalom B'Shus, planting a tree. And if he wants to keep the tree, he's got to pay you the lesser of either your expenses or the value of improvement of the tree. Okay, and if your expenses were $5, the tree has improved the field by $10, he pays you $5. The reverse, he still pays you $5. But if, as long, you know, on the assumption that you're benefiting, you must pay. Even though you didn't ask him to plant the tree, that's the din of Yorei Toch Sada Shechaveiro Shelo Bershus Unita'a. That's the same thing going here. The ganav stole your behema, he fattened it up. As long as you benefit from the fattening up, if you're what your nene, you can't get it. And again, if his expenses were less than the pitum, so you would pay the expenses, not the added value of the behema. Okay, but you would certainly, I don't know if anybody says that befeirush, if they invoke that issue. That's what we call shevach versus hotzah. But the shevach is what the object improves, the hotzah, the expenses, gone in doing so. So the din by Yorid Tosada Shochaveiro is that if the Shevach is Yeser al Yitziah, you give him the Yitziah. If the Yitziah is Yeser al Shevach, is Yeser al Shevach, then you give him the Shevach. But you always do, if you're getting Hana and he spent money and there's improvement, that's why you get Hana, you at least have to pay him a certain amount of value, his expenses or the Shevach, one or the other. But you can't be Nene from his property without paying him. So the same thing here. If I fatten the behemoth up, for all intents and purposes, we look at the behemoth ke'en shagana.
Well, it's ke'en shagana plus the yahatzah, you just saying. No,
assume for the moment that the otzah and the shevach are the same. I want to leave that possibility. You might argue that here. Let's assume that otzah and the shevach come out to be roughly the same.
Even so, you mean ke'en shagana plus the shevach,
Yeah.
Okay.
No. You don't know the point. Is the ganav only gives back ke'en shagana'v. In fact, what the way it's usually understood. So then what has to happen? The nigzal has to pay him for the shevach.
Oh, he gives the animal, right.
The animal he's going to give back, although right. And that could depend upon shinoi, right? That's why I'd be very, you have to be, what you said is very important, but right now the Gemara hasn't invoked that yet. Where does the Gemara invoke shinoi, by the way, in the context of Nispatma Me'ela, sort of? Ravila. Ganav Tulev and Asa Ayil, right? It's not Nispatma, it may be different. Why is that not nispatma? Why is nispatma not the same thing, Chaim? No. Tlevin asa ayil.
No.
I know. No, but I want to say how. Oh, I'm sorry. But with respect, here's a very important point that's going to come up in this sugi as well. Is there a difference in terms of shinui, whether shin is kona, whether it pitma or nispatma? Would you say there should be a difference? Really? Did you learn Tosus? Tosus assumes not. And logically so, I think. Because if it's not the same, if the whole point of a shina is it's no longer Kain Shaganav, what difference does it make whether you did it or not? Legabe Nezek, if you damaged it versus it broke on its own, Rabbas, then that's a separate issue. But in terms of whether Nasa Shina be other Kano, it shouldn't necessarily. Well, maybe. Okay, so fine. So you're correct. It depends which side of the chakira of shina you take. Okay, right now, I and that's why I said kain shagazal. I took the one that I like. So maybe that is going to turn out to be, it may or may not be a machlokas that we've shown him. But right now, Tosus is working with kain shaganav, and that's why Tosus assumes that there's no difference in terms of the shinui aspect, whether pitma or nispatma, whether you did it or it happened on its own. Because to the extent that it's a shinui, to that extent, it's a shinui, whether or not you did it or it happened. So again, Ganav Tlev and Asa Ayil is different than this Patma or Pitma in another way. How is it different? Yeah. So why should that matter? I'm not sure. I don't think it's correct, but. No, but that's more, clearly, according to the Gemara, that's Vadai Shinoi, even though he knows it's going to turn into it, right? But based upon what you're saying, it should be the reverse. In other words, the Tle, which inherently automatically turns into an Ayah, that's not really a Shinoi, because that's just its natural process. That's the way you were saying. So it should have been the reverse. Shlomo?
No, but a Tle is an Asa Ayah, you can't turn it back into a
Tle. It's not Chozer Lebriyoso. Now, you should think about that because that if you saw the Ravid yet, not everybody has access to it. Oh. But the Ravid talks about it. He wants to say that the pitma is when it's not chozer lebriyoso, which I don't really understand. How can it not be chozer lebriyoso?
Well, we said that the other way around, it could be not chozer lebriyoso. If you starve it, at some point it could never return.
That I can see that being more true. Although usually, if you starve it, you can normally fatten it up again. Now, one of the interesting questions, which is not our issue. But might be in play. It's not, we're not focused on the chozer lebriyoso issue so much. What happens if I take silver and I make it into a coin? Am I kona? What happens if I take a coin and I grind it up back into its silver?
Does that diminish the quality of the silver at all?
From a pure chemist's perspective, I suspect not. If you're pure silver, no, it shouldn't matter. You know, I think the right. Are there any some of you taking chemistry? I don't know, you know. Right? If you have a pure element, you know, if there aren't impurities in there, so I don't.
No, we're
okay, but I'm not assuming that. I'm assuming that. The Gemara is not assuming there are any impurities introduced, any dross, any sigim in the kesef, right? So what happens if you take silver and you grind it up? You take the coin and you grind it up, your shaf. Or what if you take, let's take the other case first, okay? Chaim. You take the silver and you make it into a coin. Is that called the shinoi? So the Gemara says no. Why not?
Back.
Grind it up and it goes back. Let's take the reverse case. You start with a coin and you grind it up and you have a coin comes out of a stamp. Okay, and now you you grind it up into silver. And is that kona?
No.
Because.
I would say that it should be kona.
Why?
Because it's not necessarily close to the real sort of, meaning, in order for me to then turn it back into the coin, if I don't necessarily have the tool, I have to pay someone to do it.
Let's say I have the stamper right here. Your answer is right, by the way, the Gemara says, and you should realize why. Now, on a most technical level, you could argue it's like a gun. Right, you know how ballistics tests are done. They're done because no two guns are the same. Because each time the blade is used to hollow out the barrel of the gun, the blade itself is damaged somewhat, chipped or scratched or whatever in a way. That's, you know, you can't have grinding like that without damaging the tool that's doing the grinding. And that's why the next time it cuts a barrel out of a gun, it's a slightly different barrel. And therefore, all you have to do to match a bullet, it's not so easy, but is to fire a bullet from the same gun, and then compare it, because no two guns, you know, will leave the exact same markings on a bullet because no two guns, no two barrels are exactly the same.
So I understand where you're going with that in terms of the coin, but is that true today, or is it only true back then?
No. So one could argue that with the thin, it's never going to be exactly identical. All right, so that's Aldera from Melitza. That's not why the Gemara says it, although maybe, you know, they weren't aware of that, the fine shinui that will take place between two stamps of the coin.
They might notice the difference, but they wouldn't consider that something measurable.
Right. So I mentioned that to Aldera Hadrush, you know, you could say why, but the Gemara gives a different explanation, which is...
That the government doesn't allow you to stamp it?
No. Oh, that's not a bad suggestion. That is an idea that comes up in Sugyas. Governments being mocked but on money. That would be true today. Yeah.
It's worth less when it's
grounded. No. Because the reason why if you made it into a coin, you're able, it's not a shino, is because it's chos el briaso, so there's also chos el briaso. So the answer is, the Gemara says...
I would say it's a shino shame from being money to being...
But it goes both ways, and one is kona. So the answer the Gemara gives, a whole series of examples like this, is no, panim chadash asbo lekan. Meaning, in other words, it's chozer lebriyasa, if you think about it. Silver is silver. It's a basic element, right? You take silver, you make it into a coin. If you grind it down, it's the same silver as it was before. But if you take a coin, and you grind it up, and then you reconstitute, it's not the same coin as it was before. It's a new coin. No, lata. You know, you laugh, but they talk about if you have something that you mechadesh or miyashin it. And again, it goes in the same way. If you take something that's gotten old, and I forget which way it goes. It's the same idea that one way is returning something to its natural state, and therefore when you remake it, it's called panam chadash esbolakan. The other thing is simply changing it from its natural state, but you can always restore it to its natural state. Okay, so that is theoretically an issue by Behema. In other words, you know, is the behemoth identical? You have to ask the physiologist. You know, is if you gain weight, and then if you lose weight, and then you gain weight, the same weight back, and you weigh the same thing on the scale, does the fat come back exactly in the same places? I don't know. I mean, at some point it does, but you know. So that's an issue to talk about. What exactly is the nature of shinui here? Okay, but let's assume for the moment, forget the rival. Assuming it's chozer lebriyasa, so we're not assuming. We'll assume these shinoim, at least initially, pitma, hithisha, are shinoi chozer lebriyaso. So it's not a real shinoi, certainly. That's the way Tosus Rabbeinu Peretz especially spells out. It's an unbelievable Tosus Rabbeinu Peretz. But tlev anasa ayil is not changeable. You can kill the ayil, but you can't make him back into a tlev. Right? I mean, you can take him, cut him up, make him smaller, make him weigh the same thing as a tlev, but it won't be the same thing. Right? That's the way we are as people to us. We grow. We can never get back to a previous state.
No, but after you make him larger, he could he might have the same name, because you could say that it always had the same name.
That's we're not talking. We're talking physical Sheena right now. Physical Sheena. Dove?
I don't know if this is a real Ryan, but like I've heard when it comes to sort of the diagonal that you're talking about, where you lose fasting again, that like health professionals discourage it, because what generally happens is that what you lose is your muscle, and what you gain back rapidly is sort of the fat. And I don't know how it applies, you know, to
okay.
your sheep, but sort of you're not getting the same thing.
Okay. So that's an interesting question. I don't know. Dieting of sheep. Okay. I'm sure there's a whole literature about it. Animal husbandry, but okay, fine. So what's that?
Is it on the South Beach?
Right.
The whole
Thank you. So go on. Don't you have an assignment? You go on. So sheep die. You know. Okay. All right. Anyway. So the question is, why is it? So the one lacuna in the Gemara, about our cases. Okay, and by the way, the other important piece, because it's really incidental, but it starts the whole discussion among the Rishonim. If you have a fat animal and you machish it means you don't feed it, but you make it work. I mean, if you don't feed it, that in itself is enough. Okay, hechisha biyadayim, not that you know it just lost its appetite because of whatever and didn't want to eat, but hechisha biyadayim. So what is the din, according to the Gemara? You pay keren and kefel and dalvehei. Kain shaganav, why? What's the reason? Mali katla kula, mali katla paga. Now, what case of ours that we're interested in does the Gemara talk about at all? Nispatma and Huchasha. Nispatma and Huchasha. The Gemara doesn't talk about those cases. Now, if you were to draw an inference from the Gemara, what would you say the din of the Mamela cases are? Is Huchasha like Huzla, or is Huchasha like Hechisha? Ami?
I think it's Huchasha is like Huzla.
Why?
Because it more brings the reasoning to why when it's Hechisha, you think with taking, so that would be the same, because Mali Kabla Paga, where if it's Huchasha, you didn't.
So I disagree, but that's an excellent answer, because that's not, it's an excellent answer, it's just not the one I was looking for. I want to hear the other side, but Ami's given us one side. That's not the mashmo, it's the reason the Gemara offers, but the mashmos of the larger structural issue, the Gemara doesn't point that way, but he says 100% correct, and that's what drives, according to the Rush, that would be what drives the Rambam and the Riff in their Pesach Halacha, is the Gemara, they take the Gemara's reasons at face value at this point, and therefore that's what governs the Maskana. Yitzi?
I think I'll go with Tosfos and say that the fact.
Well, you have to, because I told you I don't want his answer.
I say that the fact. No, I mean, for reason also. That yeah, the fact same. That the Gemara does not give the case of Huchasha or.
Correct. And okay, Yitzi says the fact that the Gemara doesn't. When it dismissed Hechisha and Hishmina's possibilities, and it didn't turn to Huchasha and Nispatma's possibilities, it's because they weren't possibilities. Now, this is what we call, you know, we don't call it anything, but there needs to be a term for this, is rabbinic liminal tendencies. That the Chachamim have a tendency to give you the borderline cases, as Rav Lichtenstein might say, that would limb the contours of the sugya, the parameters of the din. And I've never seen that word limb used anywhere else except from Lichtenstein papers, but it's still a useful, you know, we have liminal states, but so in other words, the Gemara has a tendency, you know, to part the sea exactly where it's supposed to be parted and not leave any dry land in between. So therefore, if the Gemara wanted to give you, if you couldn't draw a Kal Vachomer, if Nispatma, you pay Keva and Dal Vehe Kishasa Madabedin, it's a Kal Vachomer Yukra, Hukra. And the same thing, you know, if it's Hukasha and Huzla. It's certainly very clear, that one could be derived from the other. But by presenting the cases as it does, Hechisha v'shmina versus, you know, Yukra v'zula. So the Gemara is leaving, theoretically, some dry land in between, namely Nispatma and Huchasha. And if it meant, and the assumption, therefore, would have been, is that when it's gone from cases where it says belongs on this side of the sea, and now it gives you the next case, that's the first case that goes on the other side of the sea, which means only Yukra v'zula stands alone. Huchasha and Nispatma go along with Hechisha and Hishmina. That's my initial reading of the Gemara, really, when the way Yitzi says it. But you can't dismiss the fact what Ami says, and the Rambam and the Rif don't, that the Gemara gives a reason that ana patimna v'at shaklis, right? And that is only relevant by Hishmina. Now, it's the Hesber that the way I want to explain it, that's like Yori Latoch Sada Chaver Nata, right? So it is. It's in even Ispatba is like Yori Latoch Sada Chaver. So how much should you pay? Well, how much was the Hotzos of Nispatma? Remember the rule by Yori the Tosada Shachaver Natal, you pay the lesser of the Shevach or the Hotzos. So what is the lesser of the Shevach or the Hotzos by Nispatma? You see?
No.
Zero. Because Nispatma, by definition, Nispatma Me'elem means it means it went into the fields of Hefka and grazed or something, and it just ate a lot. Just ate a lot. So by definition, by Nispatma, the amount of the Yitzios, the Hotzos, are by definition zero. That's why it's Nispatma. If the Hotzos weren't zero, it would have been Hishmina. Right? I mean, you can ask, what does it mean, Nispatma, if I feel you have to feed it? The answer is, presumably, it means that it grazed in Sada Shal Hefka, or Sada Shal Gezel, but it didn't come out of his pocket.
Right, but couldn't you say that you would have to pay him however much it would have cost him to move the animal? Because when it was in the Balder Shul, it didn't necessarily have access to
Nispatma means by itself. I can't talk about, okay, you know, are there marginal hotzos that still constitute Nispatma? But in principle, Nispatma means Nispatma is no different than Hishmina. It's just that by Hishmina, the hotzos, they're Shevach. By Nispatma, they're Shevach, but there are no hotzos, because that's otherwise it wouldn't be called Nispatma Me'eleha. Right? So that reason clearly doesn't apply by Nispatma. Now, on the flip side, Mali Katla Kula, Mali Katla Palga. That, depending on what the words mean, on the most literal reading, Malikatla Palga, that also doesn't apply to Hochashama Eleha, because you can't say Malikatla Kul. He didn't do anything. Now, what starts the discussion, obviously, and the sort of textual center point for the Rishonim, for Tosfos, is really, what does it mean, Malikatla Kul, Malikatla Palga? Because depending upon the interpretation that you choose for that, that will in effect determine whether or not that reason applies across the board or doesn't apply across the board. Now, if the reason applies across the board, then you see, and that's one, that's the second teretz, the first teretz of the two terutzim of Tosas. If it applies across the board, then you cannot distinguish between Hechisha and Hochasha, between Pitma and Nispatma. But if it doesn't apply across the board, then you have an option of saying what Ami said, which is to say that Hochasha is like Huzla. You don't have to, but you can. But if either of the two reasons applies across the board, then that possibility never gets off the ground. Nada?
In the Nispatma case, what about if the animal breaks into the gap, to the, I guess, Yaslan's zone?
His storage, food storage, yes.
And then, would that be like Nispatma plus Nezek, or would it be...
Whose food storage? The Bailan? The Ganavs?
Yeah.
Well, I don't think you call him Nezek. You can't claim Nezek. I steal your animal, and then your animal bites me. You know,
in America,
TV. I thank you. Yeah. I know. I see my Republican, my right flaming Republican here. Right? Okay. Just kidding.
Like, that's dumb with me.
Anyway, so I think the answer is moral. The issue in that would I don't think that Hishmina, I don't think is a function. Hishmina versus Nispatma, I don't think is a function of intent. I think it's a function of expense.
Yeah,
so that would be called Hishmina, I think. Mm-hmm. Even though he didn't intend it that way. Yeah. So bottom line, because again, if the whole principle that I'm claiming behind ana patimna v'at shaklis is the issur of being nene of zenene of zechoser. Right? If that's the whole principle behind it, so mamela, the animal was nene, right? In other words, the din is even in even when you're behema. One of the major mishnayos that this comes on is the mishnah early in Bava Kama, where you put your food down on the Rosh Hasharabim and another guy's behema eats it. So shein regel apatur Rosh Hasharabim, but the guy is still chayev to pay you sort of the most minimal meal that the behema would have eaten, because he is nene, that he doesn't have to feed the behema. So I think that this would be called, if it broke into his, he got what he deserved. Hopefully, it ate some really expensive stuff, but that wouldn't be what the nigzal has to pay. You know, he'd only have to give the minimal shevach, not the hotzos. Okay. So let's. Is there any questions sort of about the framework? Right. We have Hokra v'Hozla. We have Nispatma and Hochasha, and we have Hishmina and Echisha. And permit me to add one more little detail. You see that Pitma becomes Nispatma because there is no Pual in that form, but Hechisha, which is the Hifio, becomes Hochasha, which is the Hofal, because that exists in the Shnei Hebrew. So we have our six things, and then we have the Gemara sort of weighing in on the outer cases, and the middle case is what's missing. So what does Malikatla Kula Malikatla Palga mean? So I want to just close with two points. Firstly, the Tosas and Subas, which was not essential, that's what I put in brackets, but I mentioned that because even though there, I don't think Tosas uses the language, in effect, that this Malitza of Malikatla Kula Malikatla Palga is really the basis of Rabbeinu Tam Shita. Right? The Gemara and Subas talks about having Bia Rishona on Shabbos. And since Bia Rishona by a Besula typically causes bleeding, the Gemara raises the possibility that it's a problem of Chabura. So Tosas just asks a basic question. Killing someone is Shechita. And whether or not you cut two simanim, a robe of two simanim with a proper knife, that's still called Shechita. Fine. What about making someone bleed? You should teach this to children. If you're Machanech, you should teach it to children. That even though it's usher to go give each other black and blue marks, you know, for fun, these kids sometimes have clearly too much time on their hands, so they, you know, these games where you give a guy a noogie, whatever, like that. So aside from the fact that it's usher during the week because of Lo Yosef Pen Yosef, but maybe that's Nitan L'Mechila. But on Shabbos, they shouldn't do it. On Shabbos, they shouldn't do it. Because on Shabbos, it's a malacha on top of that.
When they do it, it's not necessarily to remove their own stress. They do it just, you know, for whatever reason.
Minimally, it's a malacha shein tzricha gufa. At best, it's a malacha shein tzricha gufa. Right? It's chovel. Right? It doesn't matter whether it bleeds outside a black and blue mark. What's that?
It's a
chovel
whether or not that's chayav as a.
I agree. So the Rambam, who even the Mechaber doesn't paskin like, says the Machshen Sukha Kufas Chayav. But we paskin Potter. Fine. But bottom line is it's Osir. So they shouldn't do it because it's a bad game. And it's maybe Osir because of Chovel, and it's Vade Osir because of Shabbos. Fine. Enough said on that. Now, what is the reason that Rabbeinu Tam gives for? Why is it Osir? So Rashi, I think, says Tzoveya, and the Rambam says Mefarik, that Tosis obviously doesn't quote. But Rabbeinu Tam says that it's netilas mixas neshama, because the dam is called an efesh. Now that's an effect. He doesn't use the term. It may be used by others in this context. Malikat lakula, malikat lapalga. So it's really a tolda of shchita. It's a tolda of shchita. Shchita is netilas kala neshama, and chovel is netilas mixas neshama. Okay. Now, so.
But he does make a distinction between hekisha. He says it's not
No, what he says there is that the reason that doesn't work is because that would be in it, because they'd be in it tzricha
legufa. Right, so it's not making her weak. It's just...
No, he says, you know, he says that making her weak can't be the reason why it's a malacha.
Oh, okay.
That's what he says. So, although that's funny that he talks about hechisha given the light of our sugya, but they don't quote the terminology malikat lakul malikat lapal. Okay. Rashi says, what does Rashi say malikat lapalga? Shlomo, just read this Rashi and this we'll close with. Malikat lapalga. It's the second arrow line. From that moment that he was machish it, shechita began. It's a long and painful shechita. Right? You start now, you know, starving the animal. At the end of the deal, he says, this is an ugly looking animal. Pulls out his knife and shechs it. Okay? He wants lean rib steak. So the question, now the obvious question that's raised, take the following question. Supposing I begin the shechita, and Tosfos does raise this at the end. I begin the shechita and I do a long dance of shechita with this animal. Okay, and I saw back and forth. Okay, assuming that you get into the question of shehiyah, but shehiyah b'shechita usually doesn't apply as long as you're continuously moving. But now at some point the animal is worth less. You know, an animal with a quarter of its simanim cut is clearly not worth that which a whole animal. If you were to stop, I changed my mind, and then try to sell the animal, presumably you wouldn't get a lot of money for it. Now, so the question is, and presumably you made a shinu in the animal too, a shinu which is not choser. So why don't you say you kone it right then? And firstly, you have the problem is shalom tovach shalom ocher. And secondly, if you kone it right then, everybody agrees, once you kone the animal, you can't pay more value than from the time that you kone it. Right? And as if you make a kinyan on something, let's say I make a shinin object, I make a kinyan on it, and now the value of the object goes tenfold, it goes through the roof. Nobody's going to say I could be chayiv anything more than from the time I stole it to the time I made the shinin was kone. So when you evaluate the value of an animal for shchita, how much you pay, assuming it's kishas shchita, and we'll call that shas amada bedin for them, I'll call it shas shchita, at least forget the market value, just the value of the physical animal. Clearly, you don't look so shchita, you look at tchila shchita. So Rashi says, mali kala kula, mali kala palga. Well, if you start the shchita now, and you finish the shchita then, so the value which you use for determining how much it was, what was called shas shchita, was the beginning of the shchita. And since hukusha is mali kala kula, mali kala palga, it's tchila shchita, that's the value that you use. So that's why the Gemara says, how could you possibly say that by shmena, Ve'chisha, how could you say that you pay kishasam on the bedin if mali kala kula mali kala palga? The process began, the shechita process began at the beginning of the hachasha. Now, that's obviously very problematic, what I just said. I made it sound very nice and fancy, but it's obviously problematic because if you stopped before you did the shechita, you wouldn't be chayav dalav hay. Right? If instead of shechting it, I bonked it over the head with a 2x4 and killed it that way, I wouldn't be chayav dal v'hei. So how can you say that weakening the animal first is called tchila shechita? Okay, so anyway, if you are shochet at the end, if you're not shochet, you can't talk about dal v'hei b'chlal. Okay, so anyways, that's the basic question Tosfos is going to have, and that's what we're going to have to work at the Teirutz. But as you do go over the Tosfos tomorrow, and some of you have done them, but it might be worth chazering, think very carefully about how Tosfos frames the question of Huchasha and Nispatma. I mean, Tosfos talks about them explicitly, but think very careful about what Tosfos is saying. Okay? Fine. Okay, tomorrow shiur will be regular time. Yeah. In fact, tell the guys that hopefully it's supposed to be over by 1. So if it really goes that long, I may be 5 minutes late. I just want to have a little bit to eat. But it's supposed to go from 12, no later than 1. Okay, Ben, you have this. And oh, I'm not ready. Yeah, I got you. Did you submit it?
I believe I got it.
I got yours. I did get yours. Okay. So far, there are only eight different submissions, but I assume that guys are handing them before lunch.
Well, maybe guys.
Thank you. Is it finished?
Maybe guys dropped over.
Someone want to take it?
Put it on the garbage.
No. Okay. Put it on the garbage. I don't care. Okay.
I'm going.
It's called the Hefker table.
It's very, it reminds me a lot of Kohalis. It's a bit like disorganized, but
I just have weekly assignments, and I didn't start doing anything for Kohalis until May.
Okay,
it was actually cool. I gave my paper as a 30-minute shiur in my shul this week. That's like people like I was like terrified about it because
I wasn't sure if people would get it because it assumes a certain background in the text. And I didn't talk to Dr. Vincent. Really
people.